Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, the Wolves big board continues who my fourth, fifth, and sixth players in the NBA draft would be if I were the Timberwolves drafting early in this draft. Also, the Timberwolves made another front office hire. We'll talk about that as well. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend. And thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere you listen to podcasts. That includes YouTube, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, and Odyssey. And again, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Plenty to talk about on the show today. We're going to continue the Timberwolves draft board that I started on Thursday's show. We'll get to numbers 4, 5, and 6 here in just a minute. First, though, I want to hit on the latest Timberwolves front office news. This is something that had been rumored a couple of weeks ago, probably 3 weeks ago now. There was some reporting. I believe this was actually Mike Singer out of the Denver Post initially, who mentioned that new Timberwolves front office president of basketball operations, Tim Connelly, who of course came from Denver, would look to hire former New Orleans general manager Dell Demps, who had been in New Orleans for nearly a decade, most recently has been a head coach, an assistant coach for former Jazz head coach Quinn Snyder in Utah for the last couple of seasons, but would be returning to a front office role in Minnesota. And now John Krasinski and Shams Charania of The Athletic are reporting that the Timberwolves do plan to hire Dell Demps, the former New Orleans Pelicans GM. Much maligned near the end of his tenure in New Orleans, he was there for like 9 seasons, 2010 to 2019. Obviously, that is a franchise that underperformed during that period of time. They did have some success. Of course, they had Anthony Davis. They made some intriguing moves over that period of time. But he held that position for a long time. He actually hired Tim Connelly in New Orleans. He was Tim Connelly's, was his first, I believe, first full-time front office role in the NBA. Prior to him then going to Chicago, that was Matt Lloyd going to Chicago. But Tim Connelly was in New Orleans first before he ultimately went to Denver and then ended up running that front office in Denver. But the track record of Dell Demps is impressive, no matter what he's done over the past decade plus, regardless of what his final records were in New Orleans. Remember, he's not coming to Minnesota to run the front office. We don't even really know where he'll fit in there, what his actual role will be. Likely an assistant GM, that sort of a role. I mean, they've already got Sachin Gupta still on board as an executive vice president. They've got new addition, Matt Lloyd, who is in the Orlando front office for a decade prior to being in Chicago for a decade. Matt Lloyd is a senior vice president. I would be surprised if Dell Demps outranked either one of them, but they've still got Manny Rojan. They've still got some other guys in the front office. They let Gianluca Pascucci go several weeks ago. So this will likely be some sort of an AGM type role for Dell Demps. And he's still clearly highly thought of around the league. So another kind of a who's who front office hire for Minnesota. I mean, they've got a bunch of Sachin Gupta has been coveted around the league, was a finalist for POBO jobs, for president of basketball operations jobs, and other teams wanted to hire him away as their number two. He was the number two under Daryl Morey like several years ago under Sam Hinkie it was in Philadelphia. Gupta was with Morey in Houston. But, I mean, Gupta's highly respected. Matt Lloyd was an interim GM for Orlando and was high ranking there, was number three basically his entire tenure there prior to being director or after being director of college scouting in Chicago. Dell Demps ran a front office for 9 years. It's becoming somewhat of a dream team for Minnesota, for Tim Connelly to have those three. And obviously Connelly being one of the top probably 5 or 6 respected front office bosses in the NBA. So another really exciting acquisition addition by the Timberwolves here in Dell Demps. All right, let's move on to the big board here today. I want to get to players 4, 5, and 6 on my list. I'll spend a little bit more time here on the first player because I think he's the most exciting for me of the players I'm going to talk about today. I started the big board on Thursday. Go back and listen to it. This again is if I were the Timberwolves drafting in these positions, which this is high up on the draft board, barring something completely unforeseen, it would be a shock if the Wolves traded up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. However, I think it's important to establish a baseline for the big board and for what I think the best fits for Minnesota are, and also to help educate in terms of the top of the draft. So if you missed it, the top three for me, Jabari Smith Jr. out of Auburn, who's a switchable big, Chet Holmgren, the 7'2 big from Gonzaga, of course, Minnesota native, Paolo Banchero, the 6'10 big out of Duke. He would be my third player on the board. And I also had those very specifically in tiers. I think it's a one, it's a two, it's a three. Now, this next tier actually is probably another player by himself, or I'd maybe even put him in the same tier as Banchero in terms of guys that I'd want on the Wolves. But then I think there's a bit of a drop from four to five for me. Number four on my big board is Keegan Murray from Iowa. I think he is the highest floor and still an intriguing ceiling of the three guys we're going to talk about today. He's 6'8" with a 6'10" wingspan. He's an older prospect. Having played at Iowa now a couple of seasons. I mean, he's not like old, but he's going to be 22. So we're not talking like Wesley Johnson old prospect or Gorgui Dieng old prospect, but he's on the older side, especially compared to a lot of the other players that are expected to go in the top 10 or in the lottery in this year's draft. And so he's a little bit older, but he's a big bodied guy who's probably going to play a lot of four at the NBA level, but the capability to guard threes and even play some small ball five, because again, he's got the 6'10" wingspan. The thing I like most about Keegan Murray is he's incredibly well-rounded. He does everything well, seriously, like basically everything. It's minor things here and there. We'll talk about it in a minute in terms of weaknesses, but he can do all things on the court. He's got impressive size. He can, as I mentioned, he can play and guard three positions. He's solid off the dribble and can score as a spot-up shooter. Again, well-balanced offensively. He averaged 23.3 points per game at Iowa, but he did it in a variety of ways. It's not like he was only straight-line drives or only transition and spot-up threes. He is relatively low usage. If a 23-point-per-game scorer can be low usage, he profiles as someone that should be comfortable as a third or fourth option in the NBA, which is obviously very important for a team that at the moment has D'Angelo Russell, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Anthony Edwards on their roster. Even if D'Lo is traded, Ant and Kat, again, are going to use the vast majority of Timberwolves' possessions. If Keegan Murray were to be in Minnesota, he likely would start at the four eventually, maybe not from day one, but he'd have to be comfortable being a third or fourth option, and it seems as though he should be. He's certainly capable because he can score in a variety of ways. He can score out of the post even. He can score. He's not fantastic as a straight line driver. He's not ultra quick, but he can do that. He's athletic enough in the open floor. He kind of glides. If you watch some of his games last year at Iowa, he can glide in the open floor. If he gets a true big that's not athletic enough or big enough on him, or I should say athletic enough or quick enough laterally, he can score and get to the rim. Again, well-rounded and versatile. And for me, one of the most impressive things when I watch him is he's very balanced. Not just overall with his well-balanced game, because I mentioned that already, but his actual balance on both sides of the floor. So offensively with the ball in his hands, he doesn't get out over his skis. He knows what he's doing in the open floor. Same thing defensively. He wasn't super consistent, but he stayed balanced, was able to stay out of foul trouble a lot. It just looks comfortable guarding multiple positions. In terms of his shooting, he was 38% this last year on catch and shoot threes, and also overall 38% from beyond the arc, which is of course very good for a player who's 6'8". He was only 29% the year prior, but it looks like his improvement is real. I mean, he's got a smooth shot. The release isn't super quick, but smooth enough. And again, big enough to get his shot off. If he's guarding threes or if he ends up getting switched onto threes, he's got enough size to be effective at the NBA level. In my mind, he could actually be a really fun small ball five with Minnesota. And I want to talk more about that here in a second. First, before we put the bow on Keegan Murray and go to number five, let's talk about our friends over at betonline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, news, and odds, including this year's NBA Finals, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, MLB, and of course, all the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC to boxing. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. Of course, live betting during the NBA Finals is a ton of fun. The series now, obviously at 2-1, Boston in the lead. Still in Boston, they're likely going to be the favorites here in game four, despite Golden State being the heavy betting favorites coming into the series. But again, live betting, I believe, is where it's at during the finals. It's a lot of fun to watch along in live bet on betonline.net. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. I do have an important favor to ask of you, the listener. We put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like yourself and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about Locked On Podcasts. Go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long at all, and everyone that completes the survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take our audience survey, go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey. Thank you in advance for your help. Okay, putting a bow on Keegan Murray, number 4 on my Timberwolves big board. I think he would be ultimately a starting 4 with Minnesota. Switchable, can guard 3s, can guard 5s. He could be an intriguing small ball 5. So perhaps if he were to magically end up in Minnesota, again, I know the Wolves don't draft till 19. I think it's really unlikely they trade up into the top 10 for any reason. But if he magically ended up on the Timberwolves, he probably starts coming off the bench in sort of the Jaden McDaniels type role from last year, a similar role, obviously less minutes. Ultimately, he becomes a starting 4, even if it's, you know, a season down the road, but could play some small ball 5. I think he would be a really fun small ball 5. I think he'd be a better shooter and more switchable defensively than Naz Reid. Obviously small. I mean, not a lot smaller. Naz is like 6'9". Keegan Murray's 6'8". And he's a better shooter from above the break. The pick and pop game with him at Iowa was impressive. I think he could knock down those above the break threes that Naz really struggled on. Naz was like under 30% from above the break threes. Very good from the corners, but not from the top of the key, from the top of the arc. So I think that element, plus the fact that he's good enough down low, he's good enough as a rebounder, he's got enough size, switchable defensively. The Wolves could play small ball with him at the 5, and then he could mostly play 4 next to Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't think you'd want to play him with Naz, really. I think there's better options there between Jaden McDaniels and Jared Vanderbilt. But Keegan Murray, I think, is an intriguing option next to Towns, behind him as a small ball 5. I think for me, the bottom line is he would be a really good fit with Minnesota. Of the guys we're going to talk about today, I think he's the best fit. He can guard multiple positions. He's versatile offensively. He's not an ultra athlete, which of course the Wolves, everybody wants more athletes, but especially the Wolves, how much they want to run and to play with Anthony Edwards in the open floor and in the half court. But I think Keegan Murray's athletic enough to make it work. He could potentially be a starting 4 next to Karl-Anthony Towns, and he's got more of a well-rounded game, certainly more well-rounded than, say, Jared Vanderbilt. Nowhere near the defender or even rebounder, I don't think, is Vando. But well-rounded. He's more well-rounded than Vanderbilt. And frankly, more well-rounded than Jaden McDaniels at this moment. Certainly, Jaden McDaniels has a higher overall ceiling, is far more athletic, far more intriguing with the ball in his hands. But there's still spots in Jaden McDaniels' game, whether it's, I mean, you could pick like post play, you could pick even driving with the ball in his hands. Jaden got a lot more comfortable. But as a prospect, there was no question that as a prospect, Murray is more comfortable with the ball in his hands than Jaden McDaniels was coming into the NBA. He's even a better spot-up shooter, in my opinion, than Jaden McDaniels. At the moment, of course, Jaden is the better player with 2 NBA seasons under his belt, and he still has a higher ceiling. But the point here is that in terms of being well-rounded, Keegan Murray can do all those things. Also, there's a reason why Jaden McDaniels fell to the end of the first round, and Keegan Murray is going to be a likely top 5, certainly top 6 or 7 pick in this year's draft. But for my Timberwolves draft board, I have him number 4, Keegan Murray out of Iowa, a versatile big slash wing or forward slash wing. All right, number 5 on my big board is Jaden Ivey out of Purdue. Now, the next couple of guys are players who, I mean, there's a lot of crossover with Anthony Edwards, but I still think that the upside's great enough. And also the fact that, especially in Ivy's case, he could be a point guard at the NBA level. And I think you could play him with Anthony Edwards, even if there is some crossover. So Jaden Ivey, 6'4". He's got a really impressive 6'10 wingspan. And he projects likely as a point guard in the NBA, but he didn't really run the offense at Purdue all that often. In fact, you watch him and it's all about the athleticism, super athletic, extremely high ceiling, in large part because of that. He's got a crazy first step. It's pretty impossible to stay in front of him, whether it's isolation or even in pick and roll. He can get downhill in a split second. I mean, I would even venture to this is dangerous territory, but I think his first step is on par, if not better as a prospect than what we saw out of Anthony Edwards at Georgia. The size isn't quite as impressive in terms of strength. And Anthony Edwards looked like a grown man. Jaden Ivey's got some bulking up to do to really fight through contact and maintain, stay on the floor, score in the paint at the NBA level. But the first step is undeniably elite for Jaden Ivey. The athleticism plays everywhere. I think he'll be better defensively in the NBA than he was in college. I think it's an example of he'll just apply himself more. He played better defensively in big games last year, Big Ten tournament, etc. Jaden Ivey was very good defensively, but in the regular season, in conference play in the Big Ten, there were some instances where he just kind of appeared lackadaisical. Again, something we saw from Ant in college. It's not all that uncommon for some of these guys who are super athletic and are so focused on offense and perhaps overworked offensively. Again, he didn't use that many possessions for Purdue, but the energy that he expended in the open court, just exploding to the rim with consistency. You watch his highlights from Purdue, just unbelievable highlight dunks in the half court and in transition for Jaden Ivey. The other thing is he's a good enough shooter that he can play off the ball too. He's 37% from three. He was only 33% off the dribble, but that's not awful. And a hair under 36% on catch and shoot opportunities. His shot is more of a set shot, which is interesting for how athletic he is. He doesn't get much elevation on his jumper at all. The form's not quite perfect. He's got somewhat of a slow release. Not ideal. I think he could get a shot blocked some for defenses that recover quickly and athletic long players at the NBA level. But the shot's good enough that it plays. And because of that, he can play off the ball. And he didn't really run the offense that much at Purdue. He doesn't look like he's a natural pick-and-roll initiator, pick-and-roll ball handler. But I think long-term, he runs an offense at the NBA level. I do think the fit with the Wolves is awkward because of Anthony Edwards. Again, are the Wolves going to draft at five? No, but if he were magically available when the Timberwolves drafted, or if they magically could have him on their team, I think the fit with Anthony Edwards is certainly awkward. There's some crossover there, but between the two of them, you can cobble together enough of a primary initiator between they both are guys who play best as a secondary playmaker, right? So Ant wants the ball in his hands in the half court, but he's not a point guard, right? He's not going to always run your offense. You just want to run plays to get him the ball, run sets to get him the ball in advantageous spots. You want to do the same with Jaden Ivey. And I think the jumper is maybe a little bit more consistent for him coming into the league than it was for Edwards. The form isn't as good. He's not as dynamic. He doesn't appear to be as dynamic when he's shooting the ball. Again, the actual build isn't as impressive as Anthony Edwards was. And I don't know that I don't think the upside is where Anthony Edwards ultimately is either. But there's crossover in how they play. And the athletic upside is very intriguing for Jaden Ivey. I would argue that he's an intriguing combination of a good enough all-around player now plus astronomical upside that if he's there at number five, I think he has to be the pick regardless of what team's there. I think it's actually pretty likely he goes at four. I just think for the Wolves, Keegan Murray's a better fit, which is why I have him ahead of Jaden Ivey. I think Ivy's probably the fourth best prospect in this draft if I'm drafting for a random team in a vacuum in my mind. But a lot to like about Jaden Ivey and just some defensive consistency and some improvement in how he can finish in the paint, building out his body a bit more to withstand contact, to score in the paint, and then consistency on the jumper and maybe speeding up the release a little bit. All those things, if he could do those things, he's a starter pretty quickly in the NBA, and it certainly is all-star caliber upside. All right, let's close today's show by looking at number six on my big board, another wing who I think could fit in Minnesota if the Wolves were magically drafting at number six. We're going to do that here next. First, let's talk about our friends over at Sakara Nutrition. Feeling your best starts with what you eat. Saqqara helps you live a healthy, balanced lifestyle and truly enjoy it with delicious, plant-rich, transformational nutrition that builds a foundation for living in your best body. Saqqara is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. Saqqara gives you the tools you need to transform your life with their organic, ready-to-eat meal delivery program and functional wellness essentials. Their nutritionally designed, chef-crafted breakfasts, lunches, and dinners are made with powerful, plant-rich ingredients, helping boost your energy, support your digestion, curb your sugar cravings, and get your skin glowing. Plus, it's delivered right to your door, ready to eat. Saqqara's functional, plant-rich wellness essentials help you create a body you love living in. From their best-selling metabolism super powder to the foundation, their daily supplement packs, Saqqara's products are designed to support your wellness goals anytime, anywhere. And right now, Saqqara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to saqqara.com/lockedon20 or enter the code lockedon20 at checkout. Again, that's Saqqara, Saqqara.com/lockedon20 to get 20% off your first order. Saqqara.com/lockedon20. All right, let's close today's show by looking at number six on my big board, and that is Shaedon Sharpe, the wing out of Kentucky, but sort of. He didn't actually play at the University of Kentucky. He's a Canadian player who transferred to a couple of different U.S. high schools, something of a mystery man. He exploded on the high school and showcase circuit a couple of years ago. It grew a little bit towards the end of his high school career, 6'4", 6'9", wingspan. He's another one of these guys who has an extremely high ceiling, but there's so many question marks because we haven't seen him play against legitimate competition. I mean, even some of his high school games, there wasn't consistent high-level competition. There were some tournaments he played really well in, but like the jump from high school a couple of years ago in showcases to the NBA is a crazy jump. Still, he's got a very high ceiling because of the athleticism. The dunks and lobs that he was able to throw down in transition, especially, are just amazing. Poster dunks, lobs from anywhere on the floor. Teammates could throw the ball really anywhere in the vicinity of the rim, and he'd find it and dunk it. And that's the most impressive thing about him, is the athleticism combined with the size, 6'4", with the 6'9", wings. Again, another one of these guys, similar to Jaden Ivey, where he didn't handle a lot in the half court. I don't think he's a point guard. I think he's kind of he's not undersized for a two. He's 6'4". He's got decent size. I mean, Ant was essentially 6'4" when he came into the league. He's almost 6'6", 6'7" now. Ant was a little bigger than that. D'Lo's 6'4", for instance. And D'Lo could play off the ball. That's good size for a two. It's decent. But he didn't handle the ball enough, really, in high school. Even on a team where he was the best player, he wasn't like the primary initiator. So there's some questions about how that would work in the NBA. Even as a secondary handler, it seems as though he can run pick and roll based on some of the tape out there when he was given that opportunity. Again, not on a regular basis. It doesn't appear natural. He's kind of a get ball, see basket, score type of a guy, whether it's dunk over guys, shoot. We'll talk about a shot here in a second. In transition, he's just beeline to the hoop, which is what you want. I don't know how much, calculation would need to happen for him in the half court if he'd be able to think fast enough, process fast enough in the NBA after not having played in college and not having played that much high-level high school basketball to truly have success initiating pick and roll without just every time jetting to the basket. Now, he's athletic enough to make that work. You'd like his first step to be a little bit better for how athletic he is, exploding to the rim. I mean, you compare him. So I mentioned Jaden Ivey's first step. This is the biggest difference between the two of them in my mind. Is besides obviously Ivy playing at Purdue and playing some high level college basketball, his first step is unreal. Shaedon Sharpe, for athletic as he is around the rim, the first step doesn't appear to be that dynamic. I mean, it's fine, and he can certainly blow past slower players, but when he's being guarded by top flight NBA defenders, is he truly going to be able to blow by and get to the paint with frequency? And if he does get past his defender and there's help rotating over, is he going to be able to make the right next play? Generally, he seems to do that in terms of making the next best pass. But again, speed of the game, lack of experience, the speed of the game in the NBA, his so far lack of experience initiating offense himself, there's some questions there. I do like, similar to what I was talking about earlier with Keegan Murray, this is another player you watch him and he looks balanced. And that's something I like to look for in draft prospects because it shows that they have good body control. They're not going to get into as much foul trouble. They're mostly going to stay in front of guys defensively. They're going to stay within themselves offensively, not get out over their skis, dribble the ball off their foot, commit an offensive foul. Shaedon Sharpe appears, for athletic as he is, to have very good balance, and that comes through in his shot as well. The shot mechanics are very good. He can shoot from anywhere on the floor. He should be a good enough shooter from day one in the NBA. Shoot off the bounce, catch and shoot, all that stuff. For me, in terms of his potential fit in Minnesota, if Minnesota was to magically be picking at number six, I just think that there's Shaedon Sharpe is too raw for a team like Minnesota that would want to add somebody who's pretty much plug and play. I don't think he's quite big enough to pair with Anthony Edwards successfully, even if Ant's playing a lot more three. I know the Wolves played Patrick Beverley and D'Lo next to Ant last year. But again, I think there's enough crossover in their games, similar to what I said with Jaden Ivey, between Sharpe and Anthony Edwards. Sharpe isn't a point guard, so you're not going to play him at the point and Ant at the two. You'd have to play him at the two with Ant at the three. And while I think that could work in stretches, they're both good enough shooters and certainly both extremely athletic. There's just a little too much crossover, and he doesn't provide the stuff the Wolves are missing, which is clear upside defense on the perimeter and in the paint. Obviously, paint protection and shot blocking, rebounding. Those are all things that Sharpe doesn't really bring, and I don't think he's going to be a very switchable defender. I think you pretty much put him on, either the best or second best wing player or guard on the opposing team, but he's not going to be able to guard anything beyond a two because he was only 6'4 with 6'9 wings. So he's going to be guarding ones and twos at the NBA level. And again, as somebody who's not a point guard, I just think the Wolves need to put another big wing next to Anthony Edwards to be able to have some defensive versatility and flexibility. So the ceiling is extremely high for Shaedon Sharpe. And I like him overall as a prospect. I have some concerns because of there's just a lack of data, right? I mean, you have a limited amount of film, no true like statistics to look at that you feel are valuable. So that's why I put him six. But again, the upside is still, and he may change a little bit in my next version of the big board. I'll do a couple of other quick rundowns of my big board as we get closer to the draft. But for now, he's six behind Keegan Murray and Jaden Ivey. And I think I'd put Keegan Murray in the same category for me as Paolo Banchero. I know that Banchero is considered the better prospect, but if you're the Wolves, Banchero and Keegan Murray, I mean, Keegan Murray actually, in my mind, probably fits the Wolves a little better. But so I have them in that same tier at 3-4. And then I'd probably put Jaden Ivey and Shaedon Sharpe in the same next tier, although I do like Ivey more than Sharpe for Minnesota. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. We'll, of course, be back on Monday and continue the big board. Any additional Wolves breaking news, who knows? They seem to add somebody to the front office every other day. So we'll be on top of that as we draw ever closer to the NBA draft and the NBA finals roll on as well. We'll be back on Monday with the show. Thank you again for always making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, the show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. A reminder that Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and a reminder that the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now is the perfect time of year to make your second listen, the Locked On NBA Big Board Show. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you listen to podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.